We as believers, as those who love Jesus Christ, who have been called to walk with Him, we have been called to trust Him. To trust Him for our salvation, to trust Him for our blessings, to trust Him for protection. So we are called to trust Him at every step of our lives. He supplies all our needs. And we see this clearly in this text with Elijah. Elijah, last week, if you were here, I just preached only one verse. Elijah, that the man of God, the prophet, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. So there was no any background given to us about him. He was just a worshiper, a man within the community of faith in Israel. But the clue for us to see where he was coming from was the fact, his declaration that, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, and actually other translations said, the Lord before whom I stood. You see, he stood before God and prayed, and he was commissioned at that time. That is why he came and faced this man, Ahab, because this is how he received the word from the Lord. So he said that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, came to him, because he's a man who is stood before God and worship God and commune with God. And so this is leading me to say the fact that because he is going to have troubles, but he was not having trouble because he was a troublemaker. As Ahab would say in chapter 18, verse 17, you, the troubler of Israel. But the real troubler of Israel is Ahab himself, the man that was described that he did evil before the Lord more than all the kings of the Old Testament put together. He was the most wicked king ever. He just started to lead people astray and to worship the Baal and then he got into he got the nation into a mess. So Elijah here, being commissioned by God, is coming to face this powerful man who is worshiping Satan. And he is a man who is worshiping God. He wants Israel not to be he wants Israel to worship God. He wants Israel to be faithful. And that is why God was able to raise him up and to come and challenge this wicked man. And so our troubles all the times, and most of the time, they should arise from the fact that we are right with God. And so the Bible is clear about this. So when we suffer as Christians, as believers, we should not suffer as criminals. We should not suffer as those who are interfering with other people's affairs, as those who are tempering with sin, as those who are rebelling from our God, those who are not delighting in the worship of God, because anything that is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. And so God, by His grace, He wants us to think about this. And He has the power and the grace to enable us, as He did with Elijah, to help us also, even as we pray to Him, like what we were doing earlier. Well, few of us got up and prayed. He answers prayers, and He answers prayers, really, every single prayer we prayed, especially if it's a prayer that is according to His will, a prayer that is we are seeking that His will is done in our lives. We are seeking Him. This is what this man was doing, Elijah, before him. And so here, Elijah is in trouble, isn't it? Like many of us today who are in trouble. You see, but God has promised that He will bless us. He will help us in our trouble. And this is what happens. As this man has challenged this wicked man. You know, sometimes it is very important that we are prepared before we challenge things. We need to know what we are getting ourselves into. If you are not sure that God will be with you in that fight, don't get into that fight. Get prepared first. You see, maybe you need to repent first of your sin. You need to come out of things that may really jeopardize your victory. And it's not that you do much. It's just about being open before God and repenting. Because there's nothing that we can do in righteousness. Even after that, after we have done this, we are to say that not because I have done this even. Because I have seen a lot of Christians saying this. Or because I have done this right, and that is why God is blessing me. You see, no, it is out of His mercy and grace. But all that we need to do is to apply His word as He calls us not to harbor any sin. So that is what Elijah was doing. Elijah was before God and was commissioned. He was right with his God. He was on fire. He was right with God. You see? And that is why he was able to come and do what he was doing, confronting this man. And as he confronted him, now the Lord is giving him an instruction as a way of saving him, a way of meeting him in his need. God will not ask us to do something where he will not cover us, where he will not protect us, where he will not bless us. No one is able to do something like this. Even us today, to live as Christian in this volatile world that is so anti-Christian. You see, there is no any other way by which we can do that. Even to live a righteous life before those men who are so rebellious before God, we need more grace and courage to do that. To say, no, I can't do that because I'm a Christian. You see, I shared once here when I first came to Australia, just 3 weeks, and I got to do just something quick, work, like manually. You see, so we started like 3 p.m. and finishing 11. So one Friday, as we were signing up, really lining up and going, and there was a man who was so gracious nearby. The first night he realized that I was just like walking or doing that. So, oh, I will give you a lift. His name was David, so in Moorabbin. So one night, one Friday night, we were signing off. And so this guy walked up to me and said to me, what are you going to do now after you sign out? Are you going to meet with your friend and drink? And I said, no. Are you going to go to a party, big party? I said, no. And then he told me, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, you Christian, you are holding peace in your hand like this. That was what he said to me. So I never forgot that. That was in 2001. So 24 years ago. So the Lord God himself wants us to be courageous because he will have all the resources to protect us and to bless us. So with Elijah in verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerris ravines. You see, here the Lord determining the way to bless this man. Is the Lord telling him and telling him exactly where to go so that he avoids this danger? Because God is not a God who is interested in just getting us into battles all the time. Maybe he wants to teach us that this is one of his ways to bless us, not just like to march into a war, but maybe even to retreat. And he's the one to determine the methods on how he would protect us, how he will meet our needs. So he provided the location, and now he provided also the means by which this man's life is going to be sustained. This is the God we worship today. He knows the places, he knows the conditions, he knows the circumstances. And we relate to this a lot, like myself, born in South Sudan, lived in North Sudan, went to university in Egypt. You see, just coming to Australia, just all that I had was my books and some clothes. They were the most important things to me, my Bibles and Christian literatures, so my bag was full of these things. Coming into an unknown country, even I don't know how these people are Christians, I don't know about their faith, you see, and where I'm going to worship, you see, and what I'm going to do actually. You don't know this, you just trust. But God has determined that. And he provided the means by which I can come here. There are people in those places for 30 years, they want to go elsewhere. God has not opened doors. Not because God rejects them and doesn't like them to go where they will be blessed. Maybe he wants to bless them where they are. And people, and you know, we in Australia here, we live in a very hostile environment for Christians as far as the gospel is concerned. It's one of the hardest places on earth, especially Melbourne. I've just returned from USA, as you have heard. So I met a bishop there. He got a ministry here in Melbourne called Porter's House. And he said it's a hard place and a lot of problems and a lot of issues. So it's just like Elijah. You see, so he had a problem here. But the Lord said to him, go and hide in the Kerris Ravines, east of the Jordan. God has determined the place. And he determined the place for you. The Bible says that God has determined places and times, you see, for each one of us. And even tonight for you to be here, God has determined this. And then the Lord said, you will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. You remember, there is a hunger here. Things are not really nice. Just remember, this man has just prayed and it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. James 5:7 tells us that. Actually, here it didn't say 3 years, but for some time, you go there, the unity of the Bible, you see, saying the same thing. Even Jesus, John 12, and Isaiah 6, Jesus said, the glory that Isaiah saw, that was my glory. You see, Isaiah saw me, and he rejoiced. That was what Jesus said. And so here the New Testament tells us that. So that there was no rain for 3.5 years. And now there is drought and everything is dire. Everything is difficult. Is it saying anything to us? Now the economy today and the things don't look really very good. World economy is so bad. You know, I was told the other day that businesses in USA now, so they have a lot of goods coming to China. But because of the tariff, so it is easier for them to pay for the returned trip to China than to pay taxes. And so now, no wonder now they say, oh, China now beginning to do humanitarian work that they have never been doing. So sending this food that has been returned to Gaza in Palestine and so places. So suddenly they become generous. So God has a way, even maybe like to meet these people. Yeah, you see, by just closing doors and doing all sorts of things. So we can trust God always, even that which seemed to be so bad, so God can turn it into blessings. And we see for Elijah, even he prayed, he knew people will be really struggling. But nevertheless, righteousness of God is over everything. And God, even through his judgment, he can still extend his mercy. That was what he did. He sent his people to exile. And yet, he ministered to them, even in exile. And he promised them a return to the promised land. So this is the God we worship today. He determined the place, and also he knows things are so difficult here, but he will provide for Elijah, because Elijah sought the righteousness of God above all other things. And if we are to be like Elijah, our brother, God will care for us, and he will determine really how he will supply our needs. You see, I visited USA last year in September to see my son, and then I just returned. So he's a young boy, 17-year-old boy, so just want to do my best as a father, really to father him and to help him through his journey. And so last year, I got a big family in USA. So last year when I went, so not much resources that I was carrying with me, but my family there, they were able really to look after me. My brother paid for my accommodation in Jacksonville. I was new there. I didn't know where to go. I just ended up in a hotel. But my brother provided all the funds for that. And after I finished there, I went to Nebraska, and also I stayed with my older brother home, my sister and my nieces, my great-granduncle, you see. So they were all coming during the day. So they blessed me. They sent me away with blessing. This time, I didn't see any of them. You see, I went to Atlanta, Georgia, and you see, I just like, God, just help me out. I went to Jacksonville, and the accommodation was great, and the bishop has a ministry, and my son is connected with the school, and so he just invited me, and he took me out with his team to his classes, and then to a lunch, and then he had me come with him, and then I thought we were going to go back to his office, but we went to like a living room. And then the first thing he did, he picked up his remote control and then turned to YouTube, pull out St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Clayton. And then he had me there preaching, you see, sitting next to him. Oh, I was so embarrassed. And then he was just like listening, this bishop. Because the first thing he had to really to search my background. Because on Sunday, I gave his wife my card, and then that was passed to him. And then on Tuesday, the principal really urged him through a text that you need to meet Daniel's dad. You need to meet him. And then he said, okay, let him come on Wednesday morning before my classes. And then I turn up earlier, like 30 minutes before, and I was just walking around in the shopping center. The shopping center was connected to his ministry. It was called Kingdom Mall. You see, as I walked in there, there was just a Christian gospel music. Because it was early 9th, most of the shops were not opened. And it was just incredible. I walked around and I saw our daily bread, that devotional, you see, on the tables. And then there were shops, the names that I saw on the shops, whether it's a law firms or whatever kind of business, all the Christian really slogans and things like that. And there was a lady passing by. I said, this is a nice place. She said, yes, we love the place. God is here. And then 2 minutes later, I walked into the office and then I met the bishop. And then what he did before that, he Googled my name. You see the card, you see, I gave on Sunday. He Googled it and he just narrowed down on our place here, little place. And so anyway, he kept that information for himself. And then we chatted for 5 minutes. He said, no time, come with me in my classes. We walked into his room, this room, like a theater. They've got like all his students, they were having significant ministries in different places. And then we started to teach, and his subject was critical thinking, saying how the Bible is full of us thinking. And so, and then he made a comment that why someone would want to be a Catholic. So that means you are not thinking. So it was amazing. And then this guy came up. Now, let me share this. I feel like we need to hear this. So he called this guy. He sat next to him, a big guy. And this guy, he was sharing. He had what he called a rooftop revelation. This guy, many years ago in Chicago, there was this building where there was a lot of murdering, drugs, a lot of bad things. So what happened, he decided to go and camp at the top of that big building, maybe 20-story, you see, building. Then he camped there for 3 months. So all that he was doing was praying that God will bring down this place, you see, and then he will buy that. And that's what you call rooftop revelation. Well, a television channel decided to go and interview him and made some series of talks with him, and that he was able to raise $25 million to buy the place and then to demolish it and then to make it a Christian ministry. He was sitting there sharing that. And as he finished, the bishop called, Lam, come up, come here. And I sat in the chair next to him. And he just like, with a short time, he just brought a lot of information about me. Lam went to, he did all his schooling in Arabic, and now he is serving in English in a place called Clayton. And he said, I shared with him, and he asked me, before that, we went to that, he asked me about my view on sex, because there's a big thing there. And I said, well, sex within the confines of marriage, that is what the Lord God is about. He said, oh, I was only joking. And then that was what he said earlier. And then as he was sharing with these people, as I shared and I finished there, and then he started teaching, and he said, I asked Lam earlier about his view. And then he said something. He said, oh, well, his Presbyterian piety showed up. That was what he said. He said, oh, he just really encouraged me by his views. He said, sex within the confines of marriage. And so that is really amazing. So here God cares. God cares. God determines. And so as I said, even like when we went to the lunch after that, after the class, we came back, and as we were sitting, he was preaching. Actually, he said to the people that, I Google Lamb and he's genuine. I know Melbourne very well, where he is. You see, because you've got a church in KC, a guy connected with him. So after that, he was just having me preaching. And then he told me, you can actually preach. That was what he said to me. And he said to me, how are you going to go back to Georgia? I said, I came in a bus and I go, no. He said, do you realize that you can fly only in 35 minutes? And the trip that took me 6 hours and plus a stop. And I said, where, give me your credit card. See, or, and then he just put his hand into his pocket and he gave me $300. I said, you buy a ticket. And it was just amazing. And after that, he walked me out and he said, yeah, my man, he was singing. And so, an older guy, he would be in his early 70s. What a blessing. And then I came to Atlanta on Saturday, Sunday, went to church, had fellowship with lovely Christians. And I was so surprised that even in that gathering outside was a combination of Christians from different backgrounds. So Sudanese, Nepalese, everybody was there. And then I was surprised. The guy who was preaching, I didn't know where he was coming from. He was looking like an Indian, Southern Indian. And then later on I was told he was from North Sudan. His father was an Arab from North Sudan, his mom from Ethiopia. And he was the preacher that day. And they were singing in different languages, and in English, and then they sang Arabic. And the people who were singing that, they were not even Arab. They just transliterated, you see, into the word in English and so forth. I was so blessed, and I came back having met not even a single person from my family and gave me even a single cent. When the previous like that. So God cares, and he determines the way. We should not determine to God the way he should bless us. He knows how to do that. And then quickly, the methods he shows here was unusual. He shows an animal that was not clean. Well, it was seen to be something to hurt, isn't it? To injure. And yet God was using it for our blessings. So at our workplaces, the very boss that you may think he was so hostile to you and bad, they might be the very person that God would use to bless you. See? Situations that are looked like very bad, but they are the place, they are the condition that God has created for you to be blessed. When I was, when my first job, I started as an assistant principal in a school. And the lady I was working with, she trained as a doctor. And she didn't have really good skills with people. But she a delightful lady, strong Christian. You see, she was our administrator. And there I was. She gave me a hard time. I was doing a lot of things. And so she was hard. But at the same time, also, she was just like really wonderful in her wisdom and how she was caring for us also as teachers. You see, so that things. And so when I was leaving, it was a hard time for me to leave, coming to Australia. And she was the last person to say something. And she blessed me amazingly. And her word really stayed with me to this day. And she didn't want me actually even to come. She said, Lamb, God wants to use you. Whatever he asks you to do, humble yourself and do it. You have shown us love. You have just really worked very hard to bless this place and so forth. So those words, they comforted me because it was hard. But she's a lovely lady. And every time I go there, I go and visit her. She's gone back to practice medicine now. She's a South Sudanese lady. We are not determined to the Lord the way for him to bless us. So we are only to trust him, hate sin, and have a zeal for his name, his glory. And then everything else he will take care of. And we see he changes his methods. You see, because he was told that you are making trouble, but he was not making trouble. So now, so he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravens east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, when everybody else was not getting that. You see, but God was supplying him with everything, you see, that he needed, bread and meat. You see, in the morning, not only in the evening, and say, like, maybe you had it in the morning. No. This is what he's having. He's just like in a five-star hotel, you see, this man. But even the raven is bringing this. You see, the New Testament says raven, even God cares for ravens. And I was saying to myself, like, look, ravens knows how much God cares for them. And now they are doing something they know, you see, that this is the character of God, you know. And now they give themselves to minister to Elijah. So now we will see also God changing the methods of his blessing. Sometimes later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. You see, the word is stay there, stay there. How many of us would not want to stay where the Lord would want us to stay? We just want to follow the world and just do the things as the world does. You see, it's not the way of God. It's not the way to grow in godliness, and it's not the way really to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are to stay where the Lord wants us to stay, whether on fire and water and whatever. And he got the grace and the mercy and power to enable us to stay where he has placed us. And also we need to be mindful and to know also that whenever he say go, we are to go too. Because this man, he didn't get there to stay there without really leaving where he was in the first place. The place of danger, the place of hunger and poverty, and he was the place where Ahab was going to kill him. So we are to be flexible. We are to have ears and heart to love our God and to walk with him. Our greatest need in these days is for us to be still and go into the sanctuary and pray and commune with our God and bring whatever matter, whether it's something to like of Elijah here, his situation, or whatever situation you find yourself in, take this to God in prayer and persevere there, and he will instruct you and will tell you definitely that where to go. Whether through really proving this to you through text in the Word of God, or whatever things you pray for and having peace and rest in what you have prayed. Something you will want to go away from this, and again God will just bring it into your heart again. And as you pray with that, and there will be signs to show you that this is what the Lord is going to do. So we are to trust him. So the situation might feel like real, like this man, he didn't have people around him. Nothing, you see. But he didn't care whether that the place is secure or not. But the way the Lord has led, the way the Lord leads, you will be secure. See? So here, the method is changed. You go now, he will go to a widow. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow, weak person, who has no covering, no one to care, no husband, a widow. She must be in a needy, you see, person herself. And now she is going to be tasked to look after this great man of God. God's ways are unusual. But we live in a world that has just ruined us so much, has strained us enough to believe only the things that we see and things that we can really test scientifically. Accounts, enough money in the accounts. You see, the house done, built in a nice way. Shopping centers around, good schools and whatever. Recreation centers, all sorts of things. But here, this place is a widow to look after this man of God. So again, the Bible says, verse 10, so he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? Here we are told that we are not to worry. In the New Testament, God cares. He will supply all our needs according to his richness in glory. Where are you standing? What is your trouble? Are you standing firm in righteousness and trusting Jesus in your place, not wanting to do anything wrong, but trusting that God will meet you? Are you considering to move to a place and you are not sure God has the place for you, and you are to seek him and he will lead you to the place? Ahab can never hurt Elijah. And also our enemy, our enemies will not really destroy us, because our God is protecting us. The Lord supplies our needs according to his richness and glory. Let us pray.